how many of you were there who went to Ground Zero?
Roughly just over 60.
And I wonder, have you had some health problems? You or any of your team had some health problems since then?
Oh, we have. And actually, we first started noticing our health-related issues, which was actually the worst effects of an event that we'd ever had. A month after the event, we had a picnic. And because we come from different fire agencies and we come from different shifts, you know, so we don't all pass each other, and we have civilians who we don't see all the time. Actually, the Swanson family up in Napa graciously threw a picnic for all of our team members and then who responded, and then their families. And during that gathering, the discussion turned to how everybody was doing, and we realized that we had a lot of our folks who had been sick, who were sick, who continue to be sick with upper respiratory ailments, things like pneumonia, the world now what we know we call the WTC cough, which is a perpetual dry cough. Some actually had bloody noses that they couldn't would just start and stop for no reason. Some had skin rashes. So we surveyed our people, and we found out that we had about 70% of our folks were either sick or had been sick. And that's the highest number that we had ever seen. We reported that to the State Office of Emergency Services, who we respond underneath under the governor's office. And other teams in the state had gone as well. And so they were surveyed. They had equally, I don't know if they had our numbers, but they had problems. And then that was sent back to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, who is the host for the program. And that's when CDC, Centers for Disease Control, got involved and did a third survey to determine how many teams across the United States were affected. And, of course, we all know now that many of the workers at the site who had prolonged exposure, because we were only in there for the rescue and recovery phase or portions of that, those that were prolonged over the months have much more severe problems than many of us do. We have problems, but we don't have near the problems that many of them have because of the prolonged exposure.
So this new bill provides $4.2 billion, I believe, for care for people like yourselves, like yourself. And I wonder what kind of care do you expect? Has anybody reached out to you to tell you what you're going to get help with?
Well, you know, we don't know yet, and I haven't seen. I've read portions of what the bill originally was intended to do, and you know, obviously, you have to, as a manager, I understand that. That's the 40,000-foot. How it will all work is maybe something different. However, you know, 2 years after the event and when efforts were already started in New York City, actually our team was the first outside of the state of New York to participate in the medical screening and the wellness program. And we were fortunate enough to work with Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. I made contact with them early on, and they agreed to take us on. And that was the start of, I think, other responders across the country that were not in New York City being able to get into a medical monitoring program. So we've been at this for a while. Not everybody participates because of what they call HIPAA laws or laws related to individual health care, which are, you know, private between you and your physician. I don't know all of our team members that do or don't participate. Some talk about it, some don't. Some said that they wanted to move on, they didn't want to deal with it. Others have had problems and are dealing with problems. And so what I would expect to have happen is that the medical monitoring program that's in place, you know, be either continue to be funded or be moved over to some sort of governmental entity that will, you know, take on that responsibility and equally address the claims that, you know, are coming in to make sure that the workers are getting medical coverage for specifically for those that don't either have it or don't have an extensive enough coverage to where they're paying out of their own pockets for essentially responding to this event.
Right. There's also a victims' compensation fund with $2.7 billion in it. Would you consider filing a claim for some kind of compensation?
You know, I wouldn't, and that doesn't mean I don't think that others shouldn't. Actually, early on, probably about 3 years ago, you know, there was a group of attorneys that went around and were trying to get those that had responded, and they eventually reached out to us here in California to join in a class action lawsuit and sue the city of New York, New York State, I think even the federal government, and I just didn't feel that was the right thing to do. So I don't, in terms of a victim, I'm not sure that I feel like I'm a victim. I actually feel very honored and fortunate to have served at the Trade Center, and will always carry with me the rest of my life the pride of being a responder. And I think that was probably one of the most significant things I've ever done in my life, and I value that. But I don't feel like I'm a victim. I wasn't there when it occurred. I chose to go as part of a team. I made decisions regarding respiratory protection as a manager. It was very difficult to wear the respiratory protection that we had because, you know, I was speaking to my team members directly, giving orders. I was on the radio giving orders or talking to people about operations, and I was on the telephone. So I think most of our folks tried to wear the respiratory protection. Probably where we went wrong, I would guess, is we took those respirators off in the exposure area, meaning that we came off the pile, we went to our forward base camp, and then we ate, and we were dirty still. We weren't decontaminated, and we were eating in a dirty area. We were breathing in dirty areas, and we probably should have been much more far removed from that event to do those activities. You know, you can't get that back. So, you know, and also we know now that the EPA didn't give us all the information that they should have. And I fully understand when you're at war, or believe you're at war, that the public may not need to know everything because it can create other problems. But certainly we should have known more about the exposure potential that we had at the center than we did. And it's the only event in my career that I've ever seen where we went from a lower level of respiratory protection to a higher level of protection by the time that we left. No other event I've ever been to is gone that way. We've always gone to a higher level, maximum risk exposure protection, and then you decrease that as you realize that, you know, that exposure either doesn't exist or it's not as bad as you thought. So this event did not go that way, and I think that contributed to people, quite honestly, being ill and contributed to the demise of a lot of people, specifically when it comes to respiratory ailments and so forth.
Yeah, it has given you a new carefulness when you send your firefighters into action about requiring respiratory care going forward since 9/11 in incidents because you're more aware of this.
Well, it does, and you know, I'm not going to complain about, you know, the federal government. I mean, we had problems, and we saw what the problems were before we left. We upgraded our equipment, and ultimately, you know, when we came back and tried to get reimbursement for our respiratory protection, you know, amazingly, unbelievably at this point still, we were denied because the cost and the quantities exceeded the federal list, and so we spent years trying to get reimbursed for about $18,000 of respiratory protection that ultimately my agency had to bear the expense of. And I was eventually told by my boss at the time, now I'm the boss, but I was told to let that go and to just move on. And you know, I think the good that did come out of that, though, is that we had, at the federal level for the federal teams, we ended up having annual physicals, which were much better than they had been before and were, you know, funded by the government in terms of the responders on the team. We ended up with better respiratory protection. We ended up with better decontamination equipment. In fact, that was used to everybody's benefit during Hurricane Katrina because of the dirty environment we worked in there. And so that was, you know, we started to see those improvements and the benefit of those improvements. So things did get better there. But in terms of personally, you know, I mean, you can't turn back the clock, you know, and I'm not bitter. I'm grateful, like I said, for having had the opportunity to be there and do what I love doing. And I like to think that we made a difference as a group and I made a difference as an individual. But it has affected my health, and I've seen it in small ways. And a few years ago, I saw it in, you know, other ways where, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're sleeping in a different bedroom than your wife because she can't stand the sound of your breathing anymore, and it's keeping everybody awake that's in the room, including you, and you're struggling to breathe, and you're in your 40s, you know, that's not the life, you know, I was banking on after 9/11. And I'm probably, you know, one of the better ones. But, you know, I had to change my lifestyle and try and maximize through physical fitness my respiratory lung capacity and make it so it's not a negative or his negative effect on me daily. And so I spend a lot of time on a bicycle, riding on weekends when I can, to try and maintain my fitness and my health, probably more than I would normally do, because I lose it very quickly when I get sick. You know, I've had upper respiratory infections, sinus infections, I've had walking pneumonia, I've been on sterobolics, steroids, and, you know, all kinds of different medicines. And, you know, when you got to fill a claim out, which is one of the things I hope they do fix, you know, you're not really in the mood when you're not feeling well to fill out all those pages of forms. Really like to see a simplified process. And I know when I decided finally, I was frustrated with the form process, you know, probably like many, I just tossed it and paid the bill myself with a check, you know, and that's not the right answer, but that's the answer you end up with when you just, you know, you just don't want to deal with some of this stuff because you're not feeling well. So I really empathize for those rescue workers, all the people that were there. I mean, they really gave of themselves. I think they came like we all did together to try and pull this country back together in a tough moment. And none of us expected what would happen down the road. But, you know, I think everybody who was there would say they'd go back tomorrow if they had to do it again. Now, we'd probably do it a lot differently.
Yeah,
you know, hindsight 2020.
Let me back you up for just a second. Now, you're a firefighter. You have health coverage. Did your own health coverage not cover these ailments that you were running into?
No, it didn't. And, you know, I think that's the dilemma people are running into, even with the copay. And you know, I had gone to my doctor and actually went to a different doctor to get another opinion because I was just not getting better. And was assured they were going to submit the claim. They didn't do it. You know, finally the provider changed hands. I mean, it's kind of a long story, but at the end of the day, ended up, you know, I got the bill. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm paying for this thing, and I'm not going to deal with all this, the mountain of paperwork that comes with some of these things. So, you know, I think the process is going to have to be part of what's going to make this easy for people that aren't well, you know, that don't have. I'm lucky to have coverage, and I'm at the end of my career. I mean, I can retire at any time next year, and at that point, my coverage is much different than it is if I'm active duty. And I think you're finding a lot of the retirees or people that have been forced to retire don't have that same level of medical coverage. So right now I'm much better than many and feel fortunate for that. But once I retire, my medical coverage is not near what it is today.
So you may be more willing to put up with that paperwork burden, if assuming...
You know, that's right. You got to do what you got to do when you need to do it. But, you know, again, I think, you know, in terms of a victim, feeling like I'm a victim, I don't know that part of what was secured is really for someone like me. And, again, I didn't choose litigation. I didn't feel that was right. And, you know, and like I said, I'll always be proud to have been a responder there. And I don't... You know, I don't want to diminish that or in any way compromise that, even though, you know, I do believe and I do feel at this point that what we did cost us in ways that we never understood when we were there. I mean, certainly, you know, I was also a responder to the Oklahoma City bombing, and I came back and, you know, spent 3 months coughing after, you know, dealing with dry concrete dust every day. But I got better. And, you know, as I tell students, I teach classes for the fire service and for rescue, and we get people who come from all over the world to our training at times. And, you know, your lungs are a vacuum cleaner bag, and you don't get to put a replacement in. So, you know, you got to be careful. You got to wear the right protection. I mean, look at what happened to us as a lesson. And you know, we try and educate responders going forward that, you know, we also would do things different today if we could do it. But, you know, there is no going back to unring the bell. The bell got rung. Nobody knew it at the time, and like I said, we first caught on that something was out of the ordinary about a month into it. And as I said, you know, in places like New York City or in Oklahoma or other places we've been, you know, there's also a different type of toll that you pay in terms of what you see and what you have to do. But, you know, I think a lot of us never, and you kind of over time put that in perspective, but, you know, your health is different. That's something that will come back and nag at you. As we've all found out, those that have had problems, you know, sometimes daily, sometimes monthly, but it never really goes away.
Well, Chief, thanks so much for talking to us about it. We're going to put as much as we can on the air tonight and tomorrow. Anything I haven't asked you about that you wanted to get in there?
No, I think you asked me about everything. And you know, I hope it comes across that, you know, I'm incredibly proud of our team and you know, very glad that I was allowed to go and serve and you know, to me, I don't want to say anything or do anything that would take away from that. You know, again, it was an honor to be there and to serve my country in its time of need. And unfortunately, you know, serving my country in that moment and the price that we would all eventually have to pay It's not what I expected. It's not what I wanted, but it is what it is. And I'm glad that this passed more for the people that are really, you know, again, had a much longer period of time on that pile and exposed to the things that everybody was exposed to. And now are some who are dying, some who are in much worse shape from a health perspective. I mean, they're not getting a gift. You know, the gift that they had was their health. That was that they lost that. They're getting a gift of proper medical coverage to address those health-related problems that are associated with 9/11.